morning, everyone. Welcome to Shelter Rock Church. I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm not a coffee drinker, okay? I'm kind of a social outcast. Wherever I go, people are trying to put a cup of coffee in front of me. But I still like to go to coffee shops, and I go and drink chai tea and hot chocolate. That tastes good, right? I was in a coffee shop a couple of months ago, and I walked in, and a young lady was sitting there, kind of nursing her little coffee. She looked at me, and she just smiled, recognized me, and said, "Jack." And I'm thinking, oh, man, I don't know who this is. My mind's racing. I'm usually on like a five-minute delay, you know, until I can, you know, figure all this out. And so she started talking, and when she started talking, I realized who it was. It was a young woman. She had been a youth worker at a church, and when I was involved with Youth for Christ, we often worked with her and with the church, and so I felt like I knew her pretty well. I hadn't seen her for a long time, and so we did the normal catch-up, you know, like where you've been doing, have you been going to school, and what's happening, you know, with you and everything else. And she said, "Well," I said, "how are things going at the church?" She says, "Well, I'm not there anymore." "Well, what happened?" She says, "Well, I got sick." "Well, what was it?" "Well, they don't really know for sure, but it was in my lungs and kind of affected my joints, and you know, I just lost all my energy. And you can't really do youth work if you don't have energy." She said, "So I was trying to go through it." I said, "Well, what did the doctors say?" She said, "Well, I went to a lot of doctors. I was in the hospital for a couple weeks. Nobody could figure this out. The people in the church came and prayed for me, but even with a lot of prayer and all these doctors, I didn't get any better." She said, "You know, I've just finally stepped out of the youth position there because I didn't have any strength. And it wasn't just physical strength." She says, "I think I was losing my strength inside." She says, I was catching myself saying, "Why are you telling all these young people that they should be praying and asking God for help when I'm praying and God's not really answering my prayers?" And I started getting the feeling like, well, the more time went on, the less I prayed. And she said, "I didn't really want to be a hypocrite because, you know, I really wasn't believing that God was really taking care of me through this whole thing." I didn't quite know what to say except that I really care about you. And I, you know, tried to ask her a little bit. She said, "Well, I've got to go." And she stands up and I'm like, oh boy. And I tried to say a few words, but she just turned and walked away. And I thought to myself, boy, isn't that the case in, you know, with so many people? Some of us who've known God, some of us who've known about God, that we've had experience with all this, life kind of comes and just smashes us, you know, someplace, whether it's our health or whether it's a relationship or a broken relationship or whether it's our finances or whether it's, you know, circumstances in our life. I mean, so many things can come and just knock us down. And if we're not careful, you know, we let those things just not only destroy our life, but they destroy our faith. You know, kind of rips our connection with God apart from us. And so, you know, this morning is our last time, our last service in this whole series of talking about lament. And lament's important because a lament is a prayer of pain. It says, you know, listen, I'm hurting. My life is not what I wanted it to be. It's not what I was hoping it was going to be. I'm in big trouble here. But it's a prayer of pain that leads to trust. And so those last few weeks, you know, we've kind of looked Psalm 77. Pastor Leslie kind of helped us realize that God is there for us in the midst of whatever's going on. 2 weeks ago, I talked to you and said that God is willing to hear our complaints. Remember we set up the complaint office? Said, come, bring your complaints to God. He wants to hear your complaints. So go ahead and pour them out to him. And then last week, I think Pastor Jerry talked about how you could make big requests to God. You didn't have to be afraid to kind of open up and tell God what you really wanted. And so that really is the kind of the formula of these prayers of lament. God, yes, I'm crying out to you. I want you to come and touch my life. Here's what I'm angry about, given my complaint. And here's what my request is. And then in these lament psalms, then it kind of turns a little bit and says, and I've decided that I'm going to put my trust in you. And that's where we are today. And so I think that's the hardest part of lament. I mean, I know people, you know, it's not hard giving complaints, right? We're New Yorkers. We know how to complain. I think somebody told me, I heard on the newscast that heaven was being bombarded with complaints from Long Island in the last couple of weeks because of all the things that have been going on at Shelter Rock, you know? No. You understand what I'm saying, right? Now, we know how to complain, and we know how to make requests. But sometimes, well, we don't know how to trust God in the middle of our trouble. So this morning, that's what we want to talk about. And we're going to look at Psalm 13, okay? And it's a beautiful little psalm. It's only got six verses in it. And these six verses are kind of like two verses about complaining, two verses about requesting, and two verses about trusting. So why don't you stand up this morning? And it's going to be on the screen. And together, let's read this. This is a very Old Testament idea. In the days when people would gather together, they would often, as a congregation, they would sing these psalms together. So let's just speak them this morning, okay? Let's pray, or let's speak together. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Let's bow our heads and pray. Before I say a word of prayer, if any of those words that we read this morning are words that really are in your heart and in your mind, some of those words, that's how you feel. Just raise your hand where you are. Nobody else looking around. Yes. You know, those are words that we understand. God, your word is our word today. And we want our word to be your word. We want you to speak to us through these verses and through this psalm. And help us to know that we can put our trust in you, even in the midst of our trouble. And we say this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, Psalm 13 is a perfect lament, okay? As I told you, it's 2-2-2, right? Two verses on complaining, two verses on requesting, and two verses on trusting in all these things. Just look back at it here for a second. Here's verse 1, the first complaint. How long, Lord? You know, and this is kind of the theme of the whole thing. Like, I can handle a little bit of trouble, but how much longer is this going to go on, right? I mean, it just goes on and on. Will you forget me? And the psalmist is saying, it seems like I'm not on your good list anymore. It seems like you're not even paying attention to me. How long will you hide your face from me? Like that young lady who I was talking to in the coffee shop, kind of felt like God wasn't as close to her as she used to be. He was somehow, you know, with all the prayers that she'd made and all that she'd gone through, he wasn't focused in on her. She didn't sense his presence. And then look in verse 2, the second complaint. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? Christians can feel this. People who know Jesus can feel sorrow. We can wrestle. Sometimes we get the idea, if you come to church and you listen to guys like me, you can get the idea like, you know, you pray a prayer and bing, bing, God solves everything right away. You hear good stories about, you know, how things happen so quickly. But many of us go home and we still have the same problems and the same struggles, the same pressure on us. And sometimes it even gets worse. And you kind of wonder, well, how long, Lord? I mean, why is the Christian life such a battle? I mean, here I am. I want Christ to come into me. I want to walk away from the things that are evil, the things that are destructive, and I want to walk towards doing what God wants me to do. And bam, bam, bam. You know, the temptations come and the pressure comes from other people. And we kind of wrestle with kind of saying, you know, I thought being a Christian was supposed to be this easy walk through the park. And it's anything but that. And then he says, how long will my enemies, you know, kind of look at me and kind of destroy me? And then here comes the request. He says simply, look on me. Look on me. See me. Kind of let me know that your eyes are on me with all that. And answer me. Give me some sense of an answer of what that you could give me some guidance and some help. Then he says, give light to my eyes so that I can see things. Now I got my reading glasses with me in case I need them here. Some of you have reached that point, you know. What do you need when you can't see the words clearly? What do you need? We need more light, right? I got to get it over. I always say to them, make sure these lights are on pretty bright here, because I can't read this without the light. And the psalmist is basically saying the same thing to us. He says, listen, bring light, light to my eyes, so that I can look at my circumstances and understand what's going on. He says, because if you don't do that, well, there's no hope for me. That sleep and death has the connotation of maybe I can't live anymore. Maybe it's not worth living anymore. People in the Bible had the same feelings, that many, many people in our society have, some of us have, kind of wondering, can we go on with all of this? Verse 4, he goes on and talks about his and more requests. And now here, look, we get to verse 5. And he says, but I, and what does it say? What does it say? I'm just checking to make sure you haven't all fallen asleep, okay? What does it say? I trust in your unfailing name. And my heart rejoices in your salvation, and I will sing the Lord's praise, for he's been good to me. Now that's strange, isn't it? That's right there in the middle of this, it kind of shows up that it seems like he's been complaining and sorrowful and kind of really negative and down and all things. And now all of a sudden he's going to trust and sing. I don't get that, right? I mean, his circumstances haven't changed. It's not like he won the lottery or, he got a promotion at work or something like that. He's still in the same situation. What is it that's changed? Well, look. Here we go. In verse 5, one word just sticks out. I don't want to offend anybody, but this is the big but of Scripture, okay? You're looking at the big but right here, okay? If you guys, this is a little thing. In the Hebrew, it's called the vav adversive. The vav adversive. You know what an adversive, adversity means, in like an adversary. Someone who's going against you in that way. So in the Scripture, in the Lament Psalms, it seems like you're going one direction, sorrow, sorrow, negative, negative, depressed, depressed. And in the middle of all of that, then something flips. And it's in the Hebrew, it's almost like a little flagpole. It's like a little straight line down like a little flag. And it's like the flag is blowing, and the wind's blowing it in a different direction. You're kind of all the weight of all your pressures and the responsibilities and the finances and the bills that didn't get paid this month, and the squabbles going on in your family. You know how that just weighs you down and you just feel like it's getting heavier and heavier. It would be like you just kind of pop up and say, "No, but I'm not going to think about those things. It's a lot of those things I don't have any control over. I'm going to think about what it is, the good that could come out of all this." Kind of turns it around. Now here we go. I just go back a slide for a second, okay? Because I'm giving a shout out to all of our skeptics who are here today. Skeptics who kind of go, yeah, this go to church, that's what you're going to get. Okay, God's going to work it all out. Just kind of wave your hand and smile and kind of say, God's going to take care of me with all this. Well, guess what? That's the expected answer. I'm going to try and tell you in the next few minutes, this is what we trust in, that God will step into our lives. He will help us with all of those things. So we'll flip it again here. To all the skeptics who are here, I want to say, why are you not trusting God? Have you had a bad experience? Have you been disappointed in some way? Maybe you kind of looked at situations and they've kind of like given you some kind of evidence that God either isn't there or he doesn't care about you. And I guess the question I would ask you is, where are you going to go with your suffering? See, I don't have to guess or somehow think in some way that maybe you're going to get suffering. I know that you're going to get suffering. I know you have suffering already. And for some of you who are younger, you just need to live a little bit longer. You'll get suffering. You get problems. It comes, right? All of us can tell you. Just ask your parents to make a list. And then be prepared to sit there for a while they tell you all the struggles that go on with it. So what are you going to do with your suffering? I mean, physical, emotional, financial, circumstantial, relational. I mean, we get pain in our life at all times. So what are you going to do with it? You got to do something with it. You just can't ignore it. Some people get angry. Some people get negative. And we got a lot of negative people, right? Everything looks bad to them, and that's the way they deal with life. And they get cynical. Some people have decided, suffering's going to happen. I'll just go out and try to be a good person and do good things. I call it the karma challenge. You know, karma says that if whatever you do good, that good will be given back to you. And it's not a Christian concept. It's kind of a Hindu concept with all of this. But a lot of us believe it, somehow thinking, I can make my life better the more I do for other people. Well, God wants us to do more for other people, obviously. If we do it not because we're expecting to get back for ourselves, we're doing it because of what he's done for us. And God uses us in that way. Well, what are you going to do with your suffering? A lot of people medicate. They use the opioids. They use the alcohol. They use the addiction to the various games that they're playing, all the different escapes that they have. I mean, some of the people use it in terms of their relationships and their sexuality. I mean, we've got all kinds of different ways you can try to escape from reality and be, at least for a little while, kind of in the zone and kind of feel like you're happy and satisfied with all those things. And some of us just live with sadness in our life. Just have this sense of like a wet blanket over top of everything that we do, the sadness that we just carry with us. We kind of have a feeling that everything's going to have a sad ending, and we're just going to somehow just get through all this. And then, of course, some people feel like they just can't take anymore, and looking for peace, they're even making plans for their own exit. They're going to get away from the suffering that they can't seem to overcome with all that. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do with your suffering? Where are you going to go with all of this? You know, I would suggest to you this morning that God's the only place to go. Psalm 73 is one of my favorites. I have to be very careful. I could get hung up on this, and you guys, we'd be here at 5 o'clock, I could tell you. Psalm 73 is about one of those psalms for a young man like myself, and a growing older man like myself, who basically looks at the world and says, why is it that all the evil people and the people who don't play by the rules, why are they getting ahead and the people who are trying to be good and trying to play by the rules, why are they the ones that are having a hard time? He goes on for about 15 verses describing how evil people are prospering and righteous people are getting really stuck. And he says, I don't get it. He says, I'm ready to give the whole thing up. And in the midst of all that, God takes him into the sanctuary, like Pastor Jerry was talking about today, and opens his eyes, and he sees what the end of this is going to be. That in the end, God's going to flip everything around. And the people who are evil and think they're getting away with it, they're not getting away with it. He said they're like slippery, they're like standing on slippery ground. And they're like people who are standing there, and a huge tsunami is going to come and just, in a moment, just wipe them away. And he talks about, you know, how God's ways are the right ways. And so the writer of Psalm 73 kind of wakes up and he says, I can't believe I was so, deluded by this. I was so easily, confused by it and thinking that somehow, you know, that was the right way to go. He says, I come to the conclusion that God, you're the only way to go. That even when I was being really stubborn and really stupid and really kind of feeling like, God, you're not even close to me. He said, I look back now and I see that God still had his hand on me, even in my worst moments. God was there guiding me and helping me, even when I was, giving him the finger and kind of saying, I don't even want you in my life. God was there for me. And he said, he never let up on me. He kind of brought me through all of that. And he says, in the psalm, he says, who in heaven do I have but you? He said, in fact, you are the only one who can give me life. I remember when Jesus was with his disciples. Jesus had been feeding the people, when he decided not to feed him anymore, and he was talking to them about, you know, getting their hearts right before God, a lot of people got up and left. You know, no bread, no sermons, right? They're leaving with all that. So Jesus looks at his disciples, watches everybody leaving, and he says, are you guys going to leave too? And they kind of look at each other, and Peter kind of speaks up and says, well, Lord, where would we go? He said, only you have the words of life. And I would say to you this morning, skeptic or not skeptic, whether you're in the church or whether you and you've kind of just grown cold towards God, kind of lowered your expectations, wherever you're coming from, where else are you going to go? I think God, you know, God and his son Jesus, being why the reason we're here is that he has the words of life for us. He's given us his word so that we can understand what it is that he wants us to see in all of this. So lament invites us in our trouble to come and be real and honest before God and to put our trust in God. To put our trust in him, really, to let him know that we're really following him in these things. And you might say, well, Jack, I expected you to say that. And I'd be willing to do that as long as you could maybe just give me a date and a time as to when all my struggling is going to stop, okay? If you could just tell me it's going to stop by October, I'm in, okay? I'll set my calendar and I'll stick with it. Even if you give me a date, like in 3 years, I'm tough enough. I'll go 3 years if you promise me that at that point I won't have any more pain. But the truth is, I can't give you that, right? I don't know the answer to that. Some people live with pain and struggle all their life. But they can still choose to live in trust. Think of this, okay? Here's your choice. You can either interpret your confidence in God, in other words, what you think about God, by your present circumstances. In other words, I'm looking at what's happening to me. My car's wrecked. I can't pay my insurance. You know, I've got this physical problem, all these other things. And you know what I want to tell you about God? This is how, you know, and you could kind of share all your doubts about God based on the fact that bad things are happening in your life. Or you can interpret your circumstances, your present circumstances about the insurance and the car and everything else, according to what you know about God, and say, huh, what I know about God is that God is strong and close and compassionate, he's patient, and he'll give me the strength to get through all of this. You see the difference? The city was such a tough team, but look at these guys. They flopped right here. You know, they're down 21 to nothing. The circumstances are, they'll never come back. The whole season's over, you know. That's, you know, the Kansas City. Do you know what happened by halftime? The Kansas City players rallied. They were actually leading, I think, 28 to 21 at the end of the first half. They had been down 21 to nothing and whoo, came back. The next week against the Titans, the same thing happened. They went down by over 20 points, and everybody was ready to give up on them, right? Circumstances, right? These guys are bums. Look at them, you know, they thought they were so great. They're going to, you know, they're the biggest disappointments. And what did they do? They came back. Even in the Super Bowl, they were behind by more than 10 points and came back with all that. You know, sports fans, we're the worst at looking at what the circumstances are, and we make judgments about what the team's like. Well, you don't know the team. Look at who these people are. They'll overcome what the negative things out of there happening. Am I making sense? Nod your head. Say, yes, I'm still awake, Jack. Okay, I get this, right? Here we go to the next slide. I'm going back to this whole thing. I want you to understand the way you look at your life. Are you looking at your circumstances and what's happening to you, many of them negative things, and saying, therefore, God is, you know, no good, not here, for, you know, not doesn't care about me? Or are you looking at him and saying, the more I know about him, I can look at difficult circumstances that are really painful and discouraging, and I can say, I can get through these because I know God is going to be with me to help me go through this. Got it? See, that's the difference. I've spent the last couple weeks getting ready for this message. And I went out and spent time with people who've had great struggles with pain, especially physical pain. I mean, we pray for people here at the end of the service. We pray. We've seen God heal people. And we know that God can touch people and change. But I also know that there are some very godly people who have been in accidents. They've had neurological damage. They've had back damage. They've had, they have pain in their arms and in their legs. They have struggles with disease. And it's still there, okay? They live with it every day. And I went and spent time with them and just kind of said, how do you keep going? And they said to me simple things like, I just had to say to God, what am I supposed to do with this? I love you. I want to be close to you. I want to live for you. But my whole body's just throbbing with pain. And they said, we got to the point where we had to say, we don't understand this. We've been prayed for many times. One lady said, three people from the church came, and they said, we're going to pray with you, and we're not going to leave until your pain goes away. Well, it got to be 10 o'clock, 10:30. They said, how are you feeling? I still got the pain. We're not leaving until the pain goes away. We're going to keep praying. And they prayed for another hour. So like 11:30, she said, I think you can go home now. She said, is your pain gone? She says, no, my pain's always here. Thank you for praying for me, but guess what? You understand what I'm talking about? Sometimes we don't get the instant answers that we're looking for, but it doesn't mean that God's not there. And sometimes we don't understand the why. That's why the psalmist says, how long, Lord? How long? Is this going to happen? And the people who I talked to said, listen, this whole thing in your life, whether it's physical pain or whether it's a downturn in your life, in your relationships, in your marriage, or your employment, or whatever it is, he says, listen, it's all going someplace. So decide to go to God about this and ask God to be with you and help you in these things. Here's what they told me, four or five quick things. Here's number one, choose to trust. He says, number one, stop thinking about yourself. Stop being focused on you and start focusing on who God is and get to know him better. And that's pretty much what happens in most of the laments. When you go and read these passages, the first few verses about complaints and requests, it's all I, me, my. It's all about what's going on with me. God, why aren't you doing this for me? But when you get to the end of the lament, the focus turns around and it's like, God, you are trustworthy. God, you are faithful. And the focus now, the psalm writer, is talking about who God is, not talking about who he is. So they said, turn your focus and seek to know God better. And so that you can understand the circumstances that you're going through. Because what you know to be true will be the thing that will hold on to you. And that you could hold on to yourself when the storms of loss and grief come and just flatten you. Here's the second thing. They said, rehearse the Bible truths. God gave us this book, and he gave us all these stories in here. I don't know how much of it you've read, but let me warn you. But God's heroes, his favorite people in here, they don't live in some kind of protective bubble. They get knocked around. They get beaten up. They get rejected. They have physical pains and physical problems. You go through all the Bible heroes. Some of the best heroes have been through the worst stuff. And when you look at all this, you go, oh, so this is what it's like. God doesn't promise to let us have a pain-free life. He says, I'll be with you in the midst of the pain. Remember the Apostle Paul said, I got a thorn in my flesh. Which I guess is a way of kind of saying he either had kidney stones or he had some kind of nerve damage or he had some kind of, terrible thing. He says, I prayed three times, God, take this away. But God didn't take it away. He says, guess what? My grace will be sufficient for you. My presence in your life will be there. One of the ladies that I talked to this week said, I was going to church, I was in pain all the time, and I was thinking, God, why me? Why can't you just take this away from me? He says, and my pastor opened up to Colossians chapter 4, and he started talking about the Apostle Paul, who was one of the superstars of the faith. And the Apostle Paul in the fourth chapter says to the people there, he says, now remember my chains. He's writing the scriptures, and he's chained. He's in prison. He's not free at all. He's in a situation where you and I, we would complain till we'd complain 24 hours a day, right? And he said, just remember my chains. He says, I'd like to be free of all these things, but here I am. I'm still doing God's work. So God wants us to read and to absorb all this. This will be your anchor. Excuse me. The Psalms that we've been reading, these lament Psalms, remember there's over 50 of them. Read these Psalms. Let these Psalms be your words. Remember when we said, when we read this morning, and I asked how many of you, those were some of your words, those were your situation? Many hands went up here. Read God's word. Let his word kind of go through your system. Let those words become your words. And let his word become part of you. Here's the third thing they told me. They said, well, if you choose to trust, you have to argue with that voice inside your head. I don't know what your voice sounds like. I guess with GPS these days, you could get an Australian voice, or you could have a French voice, or you could get a Southern hillbilly voice. I don't know. I don't know what the voice that's in your head that kind of says, oh, this is hopeless, Jack. You know, give up on this. This is never going to work out. You can't trust that person. You can't trust God. You know that little voice that talks to you in your head? Tim Keller says, just start arguing with it, okay? Just start saying, no, that's not right. God's word doesn't say that. God doesn't tell me that. Just go ahead and just kind of punch back at those verses, those thoughts that come in and saying, nobody cares about me. Nobody wants to help me. Just push back on all these things. And then they said, they said to me, look around for the help that God will send you. And I had several people after the first service come up and say to me, I was in big trouble and things were really bad. And you know what? I wanted to pull down all my shades and lock all my doors and just isolate myself. And then I began to realize, oh, somebody's knocking at the door. Open the door. Hey, somebody here wants to help. Just wants to say hello. Just wants to give something. Suddenly you realize there are people coming from all these different directions. One young mother told me, she said, I didn't know what to do. So much pain. And so no hope for any better diagnosis. She said, but my kids would get off the bus at 3:30 in the afternoon and start running towards home. They burst through the door. Instead of me saying, oh no, these terrible kids, how am I going to deal with this with all my pain? I began to realize that God sent me those children. And God gave me those children as a reason to live. And a reason to kind of find, you know, a way to keep going in the midst of all these things. God will send you the help that you need. He'll just open your eyes and realize that he wants to give you something that will raise your spirits up. And then they said to me, and don't try to ask for, you know, the whole package. Give me the whole 12 months worth. God just usually gives you what you need for that day. True? Just to give you that much for that one day. And you don't have to worry about what's going to happen a week from now. Don't. Just ask God to be with you and give you what you need for today. Tomorrow morning, just ask him for tomorrow. And just let him come and give that to you. Finally, they said to me, listen, pray without ceasing. And you go, well, that's one of the things that really goes. When things get bad in my life, I just stop praying. I don't know what to pray. Well, just keep talking to God. Use his word. Just be honest. Keep looking forward. And keep saying, God, I need you. 3:00, I need you. 4:30, I need you. 11 o'clock, I need you. Talk to him about what's going on. He can take it. He'd like to hear your requests. He wants to hear your complaints. And he'll help you get yourself in a position where you can receive all this. And finally, look forward to the day that's coming. The day that's coming that God's going to show us. He's going to give us. We're going to see the resurrected world. We're going to see the world the way God created it to be. Look forward to that day of resurrection. Look forward to that day when not only will we be changed, the world around us will be changed. Have you read the end of Revelation? You know, somebody always said, I read the end of the book. we win, right? Revelation chapter 21, it talks about this new heaven and this new earth where you and I are going to be if we put our trust in Jesus Christ. And it said, and God will be with us. He will be among his people, and he will dwell with them, and they will dwell with him. And there'll be no more sadness. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more mourning or pain or sorrow, for the new order of things, for the old order of things has passed away. And God's going to give us. We're not going to be singing sad songs in heaven, because God's going to be giving us all that we can look forward to. How long, Lord? Well, listen, lament is the language of waiting for God's justice to be accomplished. Not just our own personal issues, but even thinking about the whole world. Think about all the injustice that's done, the corruption that's out there, the evil that's being done, the violence that's being carried out, the racism and the prejudice that's there. God's waiting, God's saying, listen, I'm gonna come and sort all this out. And I will unfold my purposes. You'll see how right it was that if we would just live in trust for him. I like what this says. God will resolve the injustices and the evil of the world. We lament now as our desire for justice that's presently unfulfilled. And guess what? That day's coming. 1965, I was 15 years old. And in March of that year, Dr. Martin Luther King was down in Alabama, in Montgomery, the state capital, speaking to people. He was leading a charge, a campaign to bring equal rights to people of color. I mean, he was pushing. Can you imagine the opposition that he was facing, the hatred that was being given to him? What his inner voice must have been saying, yeah, we'll never do this. We'll never succeed in all these things. But he kept pushing forward. He was lamenting. In fact, he said, how long, Lord, how long? Would you like to see a little bit of that? Here's 2 minutes of him on that day, March 1965. And he's lamenting to God, but speaking to all of God's people. I think he'll speak to us this morning.
I know you're asking today, how long will it take? Somebody's asking, how long will prejudice blind the visions of men? I come to say to you this afternoon, however difficult the moment,
yes, sir,
however frustrating the hour, it will not be long, because truth crushed earth will rise again.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
Yes, sir.
Because no lie can live forever.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
How long?
Because you shall reap what you sow.
Yes, sir.
How long?
How long?
Not long.
How long?
Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne.
Yes, sir.
Yet that scaffold sways the future.
Yes.
Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. How long? Not long. Because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice.
Yes, sir.
How long?
Not long.
Because mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Yes,
he's trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He's loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword.
Yes, sir.
His truth is marching on.
Yes, sir.
He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat.
Peace,
he is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on.
Yeah.
Glory, hallelujah.
Yes,
glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. God will redeem us. He will bring the resolution. He's coming to resurrect us and to restore us and to restore this world. And he starts right now in all of us. Just bow our heads for prayer, all right? You've been thinking about some of the struggles that you're going through. And you've been saying in your own heart, how long, Lord? This morning you're struggling with pain, struggling with disappointment, struggling with brokenness, with grief, losses in your life. Would you this morning say, Lord, you hear my complaints, but I want to tell you this morning that I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. If this morning that's your prayer, everybody's eyes closed, don't looking around. If that's your prayer this morning to say, Lord, I want to put my trust in you. Despite the pain that I have, despite the struggle that I'm in, I'm putting my trust in you. Just stand up where you are. Just stand up and say, Lord, that's my prayer today. I'm standing and saying, I'm not going to let the circumstances of my life determine what I think about you, God. I'm going to look at you and let you impact the circumstances of my life. Yes. Lament is an invitation for us to bring ourselves, our real selves, to God and to put our lives into His hands and to say, God, you take me and use me. You work these things out. We trust you. Lord God, this morning we thank you for those of us who are standing and those of us who are sitting. We need you. There's no way that we can handle the suffering in our life without you. We turn to you. We ask that you'd be close to us, that you'd show yourself to be real in our life. We pray that you would give us the strength that we need, that you'd anchor us in your word, that you'd protect us and help us. Lord God, we love you. We put our trust in you today. We'll sing your praises. And we look forward to that day when we'll see all the injustice turned around. We'll see all the tears being wiped away because we'll be with you and we'll live with you and we'll trust you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.